As January draws to a close, many of us are feeling the cold bite that lingers as winter drags on. However, last week's sub-freezing temperatures in Moscow failed to discourage a few hundred impassioned protesters from taking to the streets to defend Russia's right to a small group of islands in the Pacific. Certainly not your usual Sunday afternoon grievance. This small group of islands, known by the Russians as the Southern Kurils and by the Japanese as the Northern Territories, have been in contention since roughly the mid-18th century, and, since the end of the Second World War, have taken on an abnormally large political significance relative to their extraordinarily small size. So why all the fuss? Well, for the three or so weeks that the Soviet Union was at war with Japan, they managed to swoop in and occupy these islands, and thus, any post-war settlement had to deal with the sticky issue of getting Soviet troops off annexed lands. In 1956, however, a joint declaration was finally agreed, including an article whereby the Soviet Union committed, on paper at least, to handing over Shikotan and the small uninhabited Habomai Islands to Japan. Fast forward 4 years, and Japan signed a security treaty with the US. In a world where superpower rivalries dominated international relations, this move was sour grapes for the Soviet Union, who retracted their kind offer of territorial exchange, by and large until further notice. Official visits between the two nations in the past 6 decades have often focused on this troublesome archipelago, but little progress has ever been made. However, after a meeting in Singapore last November and further chit-chat on the sidelines of the G20 meeting, Putin and Abe agreed to up the ante on the peace process and finally bring this 60-year period of back and forth to an end. But why would this time be any different? And if the islands are of questionable strategic importance, what does Putin in particular really want from this week's meetings with Shinzo Abe? For Putin and his leadership of Russia, this seems an all too familiar situation, one where a territorial claim morphs into a national pride behemoth. And with problems at home, success on the foreign stage becomes more than just a welcome distraction. Could finalising a peace process which formally cedes these islands to Russia be the necessary ammunition to placate a population vexed with economic downturn, unpopular pension reforms and falling living standards? Russia analyst Stephen Diel explains why this issue is more than simply a thorn in the side of Russo-Japanese relations.
Crimea is much, much bigger than these islands, but it's all about what is ours, what is our territory. There was a demonstration in Moscow on Sunday with carefully made banners, which suggests it's the state is behind it. They're very neat banners saying that these are our Kuril Islands and, you know, we'd never give them back and so on. And it goes back a quarter of a century. It's the mentality of, we lost the Soviet Union, we lost so much territory, we're not going to give up an inch more territory to anyone. So there is a real political angle here. And in the last 5 years, because of Crimea, because of the trouble that that caused, and because also Putin's popularity is not so great now, so anything which suggests he's giving up any Russian territory, he's liable to become even more unpopular, however tiny, tiny these islands are.
But the islands are already under Russian administration. There's no territory to be won here, merely kept. And considering that talks last week between Russian and Japanese foreign ministers essentially broke down, are Abe and Putin's going to be any different? Monocle's Asia editor-at-large, Kenji Hall, explains the mood in Japan.
There are a couple of things that have raised hopes in Japan about a possible breakthrough. First of all, it was Japan and Russia have cooperated on joint economic development projects for the islands since 2016. They've even set up a billion-dollar investment fund. And the second thing was just the meeting between Abe and Putin last November in Singapore. That's when the two leaders talked about what's called the 1956 Joint Declaration. And in that, the Soviet Union agreed to hand over two of the four disputed islands, that would be Shikotan and Habomai in Japanese, to Japan after the two sides sign a peace treaty. Now, just the fact that the 1956 Joint Declaration came up suggests that Abe's position is flexible.
Russia analyst Stephen Diel's outlook is a little bleaker.
The sad thing as well is, for the Russian Far East, is that if Japan got either two of the islands, or indeed certainly four of the islands, Japan could actually provide a lot of economic aid to the Russian Far East, which is desperately needed. But of course, they're not going to do that until they get their islands back. So there's a very good economic reason why it should happen, But sadly, as the Russians see it, there's a very strong political reason why it shouldn't. So one day, perhaps it will be resolved, but I can't see Putin as being the man to do it.
Ultimately, it seems unlikely that talks between Abe and Putin will yield any concrete gains, and the issue seems fated to stretch on and on. However, whether this will help Putin distract from woes at home is the real question. Due to their size and strategic importance, it would seem foolish to believe the Kurils are going to be Putin's success story for 2019, and even more foolish to think they might be his next Crimea. But perhaps the most foolish move of all would be to ever underestimate the resolve of Vladimir Putin.
Once again, we confirm our interest in signing this document. I'll emphasize that hard work is ahead to create conditions for reaching mutually acceptable solutions. And, of course, the solution should be acceptable to the peoples of Russia and Japan and supported by the public in both our countries.
For Monocle 24, I'm Paige Reynolds.